Hello, can you maybe first introduce yourself and from the name of which collective are you talking with us today?
Hi there, Frequence A, and to all the listeners. Solidarity greetings from the Philippines. This is Nika and Mel. We run Feral Cross Collective.
At the end of 2020, your collective were looking for funds to buy a car and build a second house. Can you tell us about Feral Crust Info Center and community? What it is and what are your projects at the moment?
In 2012, we started as an anarchist info shop in Taguig, Metro Manila. By 2016, we moved to Davao City to pursue our idea of setting up a land project that is closer to nature and a bit off from the city. A year later, in 2017, with the help of comrades from the local and international autonomous network who supported us financially, we then got a small piece of land located in remaining forests of Marilog in the rural area of Davao City. It was also the time where we eventually got inspired with ecological anarchist politics and alternatives, such as rewilding and permaculture and other strategies and ways to decolonize while being immersed directly to the land base or nature. Project-wise, we're currently working on house construction, more spacious than the first house that we had. The house is intended for volunteers and guests, comrades and visitors, for them to have a space to stay, to meet, to rest, and to sleep on. Every time we visit a space twice a month, we work on weeding and mulching the ground of our area to prepare garden plots. We also did some small earthworks like digging and creating swales using hand tools. We also planted some trees and bamboo within the boundary and generally organizing related structures within the site. We never had big dreams about our land project, just a basic simple homestead, a communal and info center space, but are more rural based. As a land project, ideally, we strive to have a stable ecosystem guided by permaculture approach and practices. We are also interested in learning and practicing nature-related skills. We also would like to engage in cooperation work and projects with both local and non-local people to further improve bonding and friendship, cultural awareness, and solidarity. We thought that having a kind of a permacultural demonstration site and educational space will attract local people in the area and surrounding villages like local farmers and indigenous people, including the youth and children.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing project. Can you tell us what is your concrete approach to being a community-based project? How is the neighborhood involved?
Most of the people who help us work in the land were mainly our comrades in the local DIY punk and anarchist community, our network. We do have few local friends with both farmers and indigenous people. Some are neighbors who also give their time in helping us work in the land, share to us their skills like making traditional baskets and handicrafts, and also hike with us in the woods and had taught us some wild plant identification and other nature-related stuff. Even though they were also settler in the place just like us, they had lived there for so many years already. So we are luckily had learned a bit of wisdom and direct knowledge from them about the subsistence living and awareness about the social and ecological situation in the area. We believe that listening and honoring the stories of the place and people, motivated by respect and gratitude, will eventually lead to a shared and common understanding and essence of solidarity. In terms of interpersonal relationship among the local people and community. Most folks and residents in the forest work all the time at their own piece of land. When we came to the place in 2017, from time to time, we made friends and got to know some local people in the area, which matters most to us in creating a kind of mutual relationship, trust, and connection. Some of our local farmer friends supported our food not bombs action in the city by donating their vegetables produced during the time of pandemic and lockdowns, where food is vitally needed during those times.
before the recent elections, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., the son of the former dictator Marcos, was elected as president. What will change, if anything? And what does this change at the top mean for the Philippine politics in general?
Most people from the leftist scene, as much as the anarchist folks with left-leaning tendencies since the time of election campaign, had waged a protest against Marcos Jr. being elected as president due to his son of Ferdinand Marcos Sr., who became president for 20-plus years from 1965 to 1986 and was a known corrupt leader in a former dictator. Martial law was imposed during Marcos Sr. administration, and by that time, many resistors from the left in the New People's Army, an arm wing of the Communist Party of the Philippines, they were brutally repressed, detained, tortured, and many of them got killed. And many people also disappeared and not gotten back to their family. Furthermore, resource extractive industries such as the introduction of the so-called Green Revolution, agribusiness and biotechnology, building of dams and timber exportation, paved the way for massive deforestation and displacement of indigenous people from their ancestral lands under the Marcos Sr. regime. Today, many critics of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. believed that at the time of his electoral campaign early this year, the brutal crimes committed by the Marcoses in relation to martial law decades ago was fully twisted and distorted by means of current mainstream media, on television, also on social media, that resulted to the Marcoses family instantly became good personalities instead of a tyrant. Marcos's history of corruption and the money they plundered in the past was still on their family's bank account, and Imelda Marcos, the mother of Marcos Jr., was recently being acquitted and cleared of such crime of corruption by the Supreme Court. During the election campaign, the Marcoses spent tons of money, millions of money, via vote buying and other kinds of elitist manipulation to secure power, enabling Marcos Jr. to gain the presidential position last May. The vote buying here is just relevant where growing poverty resides. Even though electoral politics in the Philippines is truly a farce, majority of the population still believe in leaders, in political institutions for reforms and change in the hope to better their lives or eliminate corruption or crime or whatsoever as promised by reformers and politicians, but all to no avail, of course. It's still the same situation within representative politics everywhere worldwide, since all the politicians' elites from past years of administration until today are still sitting in political throne and hierarchy. They hold all government departments and the natural resources of the country and continues to accumulate wealth and tax people while spending lots of money for nonsense industrial infrastructure and developments for military arms, security and checkpoints, and other technology and tools of repression and other crazy stuff that is an antithesis to a peaceful and sane living.
Can you tell us more about anarchism in the Philippines and other projects active there? Is there a history of non-Western anarchism or libertarian practices?
Most local people who adhere to anarchism comes from the DIY punk movement, and others comes from the communist left scene, mainly those individuals who were disillusioned of the hierarchy and authoritarian nature of the centralized left. Other comes from the art and music scene and various loose subcultures. For more than a decade, Food Not Bombs action is undertaken by local DIY punks in many cities and towns of the archipelago. Till today, local Food Not Bombs chapters is growing, adhering to the politics of culture of sharing, horizontality, and mutual aid without any leaders or any representative of the movement. Many social centers and info shops also existed for more than a decade already, particularly in places located in the National Capital Region. Social centers and info shops are mostly run collectively. Other collective projects are into DIY media, arts, and organization of events, gigs, and outdoor gathering. There is also an anarchist formation of a more loose and informal network called Local Autonomous Network or LAN, involved in various campaigns in the past, such as Sagada 11 Prisoner Support Campaign, the annual protest of the State of the Nation Address by the President, anti-G8 protests, Occupy Luneta, and related events such as autonomous anarchy festivals and eco-gatherings and anti-state, anti-capitalist street demonstrations and protests. The SKA or Sining Kalikasan Aklasan is an annual ecological and art street action organized by the Local Autonomous Network in coordination with other anti-authoritarian groups and individuals. Recent Food Not Bombs and Really Really Free Market action was held in Paki, Laguna, in coordination and solidarity with the local people there who oppose against Ahunan Dam project. It's an action between anarchist collectives, namely Defend Ecology Network and the local people's organization in Pakil, who oppose the dam project at their own town. Meanwhile, in Bacolod City in the Visayas region, the anarchist collectives there had taken some action against the road construction in an eco-protected park. In Bulacan, the anarchist collectives there also has made an action against an airport construction project. So a recent anarchist gathering happened in Bulacan as well, like months ago. The anarchist project and campaigns are currently active, especially in the National Capital Region and some provinces in Luzon and also in Bacolod and in Visayas region. Also, many anarchist collectives and individuals are also involved in helping people during aftermath of natural calamities such as typhoon and earthquake, floods and fire incidents. During the pandemic and lockdown, the community pantry was founded nationwide and it sprung, and the Food Not Bombs groups had been there to help people with free food and provision of medicines and other basic necessities. Mutual exchange in the grassroots level was really helpful and alive during the aftermath of calamities and during the pandemic.
And what kind of solidarity your project is needing? Can you share how people can get to know you?
If people want to support our project, it would be best if they could personally come to our space and help us on the project hands-on. People that had actual experiences on permaculture and land management, such as gardeners, farmers, natural builders, carpentry, artisans, craftspeople, herbalists, indigenous traditional knowledge, and other related skills for subsistence. We are grateful to learn from, to experience, and to share knowledge and affinity with. It could provide an empowering community that will help in healing the land and people in terms of self-determination and autonomy and positivity on the physical, psychological, and spiritual level. Our land project is also run by donations, so monetary-wise or material-wise, if people want to help along this matter, we highly appreciate that and will always be a huge help to achieve some of our goals. To us, our space is more about life experiences and reconnection with nature, and we gladly wish to welcome our doors to everyone, to those who need it, and to those who feel the same. If you wish to help and connect and be part of our land project initiative, kindly email us at feralcross@riseup.net. We do have a Facebook page as well called Feral Cross Info Shop.
Thank you so much for finding time to talk with us, to share your experiences, and we wish you strength and all the best to your project.
In behalf of Nika, thank you so much for the interview, comrades. We so highly appreciate it.